Kof Hei Ador, Monday the 19th of March, Rabbi Nathaniel Lieberman, 30 days before Pesach.
Good morning. I'd like to discuss a few inyanim concerning the preparation towards Pesach. I looked into this inyan because personally I felt that I could do with some chizuk in my preparations. My life seems to go on as usual. I forget it's 30 days before Pesach, and hopefully I'll be able to infuse other people. The Mechaber says, the beginning of Hilchas Pesach, right at the very beginning, Shoyalin behilchas ha-Pesach, kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yoyim. We start asking, we start learning Hilchas Pesach 30 days before Pesach. And it's actually Gemara quoted 4 or 5 times in Shas, but the Gemara is quoted differently in different places. In the Gemara Psochim, the beginning of Psochim, the Gemara at the end of Chayis Daf Nun Ches, there it says, Shoyalin v'doyoshin. It says a double thing. Shoyalin, people ask, v'doyoshin, and we darshin, v'ilchas ha-Pesach, before Pesach 30 days. Whereas the Gemara, the beginning of Avodah Zorah, beginning of Sanhedrin, there it just says, Shoyalin, that we ask. Shoyalin, hilchas ha-Pesach, without the word doyoshin. And this difference of the Gemaras is also apparent in the Poskim, because although the Mechaber says Shoyalin behilchas ha-Pesach, the Torah says Shoyalin v'doyshin behilchas ha-Pesach. He mentions both points. Now most Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos amongst them, say there's no difference between the two Gemaras. Shoyalin we ask, Shoyalin v'doyshin we discuss. However, there's an interesting run. The run at the beginning of Psochim says that the Gemaras are dafka, and Shoyalin behilchas HaPesach, Teiden LePesach Shleishim Yoyim, does not mean what I always understood it to mean, that one discusses Hilchas HaPesach. Instead, he says that it means that if two people come to ask the Rov a Shaila, one asks him a regular everyday Shaila, and one asks him a Shaila on Hilchas Pesach within 30 days of Pesach, the one who's asking on Hilchas HaPesach gets Kedima, he gets the first right to ask the question, because it's in Yom HaDiyayla. And that's shut in the Gemara, Shoyalin b'Hilchas HaPesach, somebody comes to ask, has first right to an answer, if it's within 30 days of the Yom Tov. And the Ram proves that what he says is correct. It's because there's a Gemara, another Gemara, right at the end of Megillah. We hear it when somebody makes a seam on Megillah. There it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hasholem Tikin Lahem LeYisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakim for Klal Yisrael. Shir Doyshin Hilchis Pesach BePesach VeHilchis Chag BeChag. Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakim that the Klal Yisrael should Darshan Hilchis HaPesach on Pesach. But not before, not 30 days before. So therefore, says the Ram, since the Gemara tells us that Darshning, the Rabbonim give their droshes, is on Pesach, on the Yom Tov itself, therefore the Gemara that Shoyalim, Lifnehach, Behilchas Pesach, Kaiden the Pesach, Shloshim Yoim, that Gemara refers only to somebody who has an individual question, and he comes to ask his question to the Rav. And the Rashba there at the end of the Megillah says the same pshat, the Ram and the Rashba say their pshat. However, this pshat is difficult, the Achreinim ask on it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We mentioned earlier that Sanhedrin is one of the places where it talks about Shoyalin behilchas ha-Pesach, before 30 days before Pesach. Now there in Sanhedrin, the Gemara discusses the din of Ibur HaChodesh. What happens if Beis Din decide that there should be an extra month before we had our fixed luach, when Beis Din decided without much notice that there's going to be an extra month of Pesach. So the Gemara asks as follows. Since Shoyalin b'Hilchas HaPesach, Kedem HaPesach Lamed Yoim, since we've already started learning Hilchas Pesach Purim time, so if 2 weeks later when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Beis Din will decide, oh no, we're not having Nissan now, we're having another Adar, says the Gemara, Osi l'zilzule b'Hilchas b'Chometz. I think the Loshen is, Osi l'zilzule b'Chometz. The chometz b'shonim acheres. What will happen is people come to be mezalzel. They won't attach the required severity to the halachas of chometz in other years. says Rashi Pshat, that what happens is you started learning about Hilchas Pesach, then they decide that no, the month, it's not nowhere near Pesach, yeah? People get confused. Next year, you start learning Hilchas Pesach, people won't take it seriously anymore. They won't take Hilchas Chometz seriously anymore, because who knows, there might be another month. So therefore, we have a problem there, says the Gemara. So the Achronim ask that if Pshat is the way the Ran and the Rashba learn, that Shoylen Behilchas HaPesach, Koydem HaPesach Shloshim Yom means that before Pesach, whoever comes to the Rav with a Shaila on Hilchas HaPesach, he gets priority over other people. That's what the Gemara means. Then why are we choishish that if Besdin on Abba the Chodesh, Besdin add on an extra Adar, that people won't take Hilchas Chometz seriously? There were a few people who asked questions to the Rav, and they were a bit disappointed. They got a bit confused. Okay. Bishleim, if we learn the regular pshat, can we call it the pshat that Rashi and Tosfos learn? The Cholim, Birchas HaPesach, Koydem HaPesach, Lamed Yom means that in the shuls, they're ready tumbling, and everybody's learning Hilchos HaPesach. We're learning before we start Purim time, we learn Hilchos HaPesach. So we understand that if 2 weeks later, the months get changed, and Pesach is put off, then there's confusion. But according to the way the Ram learns, what's pshat of the Gemara Sanhedrin, that there'll be confusion if it's only talking about Yechidim, individuals who are coming to ask the Rav the Shaila. Either Ram has a Gemara that supports him, the Gemara at the end of Megillah, which seems to indicate that we only darshan Hilchos HaPesach on Pesach itself. Say the Achronim, Lav Dafka, it doesn't mean only on Pesach itself. It means in the time in the weeks leading up to Pesach, including on Pesach itself, and the Bach on the Tor goes so far as to say that if one has learned for 30 days before Pesach, then it's not necessary to learn on Pesach itself, because you've already learned everything before Pesach. That's a chiddush of the Bach. But they are not concerned about the fact that this Gemara says you should only learn on Pesach, because it means in the time leading up to Pesach. And practically speaking, it might be simpler to learn before Pesach. It might be too late already by the time we get to Pesach itself. There is another twist here, because there's also Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi adds on a couple of words to this memra that Shoylin Lifnei Behilchas HaPesach Lifnei HaPesach Shloshim Yoim. He adds on two words, and he adds on the words Beveis Havad. Beveis Havad in the meeting places. Presumably, the Bote Midrashes, where people meet to discuss halachas, there one should talk about Hilchos HaPesach 30 days before Pesach. Says the Pnei Moshe on the Rishalmi that Lefizeh we can explain that the Gemara at the end of Megillah, which tells us you only darshan on Pesach itself, that's talking about in private and in individual homes. In individual homes, there's one din that you darshan Hilchos HaPesach on Pesach itself. In the Beis Havad, in the meeting places where the Rabbonim give their droshes, there you start already 30 days before Pesach. Lemaisa lahalocha. The Mishnah Brura in Bir Halacha brings that the Elyor Rabbah does not like, the Elyor Rabbah understands that Al Bavli argues with Yerushalmi, and that Al Bavli holds that there's a chiyuv to start learning before Pesach 30 days, even in private homes. Whereas there's the Chok Yaakov who says that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi work together, and the chiyuv 30 days before Pesach is only in shul and not at home. But Al Kalponim, at least in shul, there's halacha one to start 30 days before, and possibly even in private homes. That's mitzvah halacha. There's also a Musa Dikah Inyan here. And there's a famous marshal from the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid talks about this Ganef. There was this thief who had his eyes on the takings of the local supermarket. Because every day the local supermarket took in a large amount of cash and checks. And 10 minutes before the local bank closed, a messenger would come out the back door of the supermarket with a briefcase attached to his wrist, and he would take it, bulging briefcase, and he would take it to the bank, and it was obviously full of money. And this Ganef desperately wanted to get his hands on that money. But it wasn't so easy. Supermarket itself is a crowded place, the street is crowded, the bank is crowded, he won't get away with it so simply. So he walks up and down the high street, thinking of possible ideas, how can he get hold of that money? And as he's walking along, his eyes wander and he sees the various shops in between the supermarket and the bank, and his eyes light on an exclusive men's outfitters. And he thinks, right, I've got it. The next day, 20 minutes before closing time, he walks into the menswear shop and he says to the assistant there, my boss would like to buy a top of a range suit, money no object, what can you offer? So the salesman says, well, I need your boss. I can't sell a suit without the person who it's supposed to fit. So the robber goes, oh, as if he hadn't thought of it. And he says, I'll tell you what, we'll both walk outside, stand at the entrance to the shop, and when we see somebody the same size as my boss walking past, we'll ask him to do us a favour and help and be the model to fit the suit. So they go out to the entrance of the shop. Surely enough, a couple of minutes later, this messenger comes out of the back door of the supermarket, walking down the street, and the gunner says to the salesman, that's him, he's a splitting image, exactly the right size. And the salesman goes running across the road, and he says to the messenger, he says, would you like to do us a favour, and would you like to model a very expensive suit for us? So he's a young fellow, the messenger, he's just employed to take a bag from A to B, doesn't have that much seichel, an opportunity to model an exclusive outfit, no problem at all, comes across the road, goes into the shop, and the salesman takes out his most expensive jacket, holds it for the messenger to put on. But he can't put it on because he's got a chain round his wrist. So he undid the chain, put the case carefully between his legs, took off his own jacket, put on the other jacket. Quick as a flash, the gunner picks up the briefcase and runs out the shop. The messenger, realizing that he had lost a huge amount of money, starts to dash off after him. But suddenly there's a grip of steel on his collar. It was the salesman. You're not taking my £500 jacket off. That. Oh no. First take the jacket off. When you take the jacket off, you can do what else you need. The moment I want my jacket. And we understand that by the time he got himself disentangled from that jacket, the robber had long gone. Says the Dubna Magid, the robber is the Yetzirah. The treasure is the Leil HaSeder. What we can achieve on the Leil HaSeder with the mitzvah of Igadta Levincha, what we can achieve with our families. The Yetzirah is desperate to get hold of this treasure that we should not be able to pass it on to our children. So what does the Yetzirah do? He entangles a person with all sorts of tirdas, with all sorts of things which occupy his mind in the weeks leading up to Pesach, that when it comes to Pesach, and it comes to Leil HaSeder, and he wants to, be in the kind of mitzvah Igadta Levincha, he wants to repeat the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he wants to strengthen the Munna in his family, but he can't, he's got to disentangle himself from all the terribles, from all the things that were bothering him over the last few weeks, all his highs and the lows, and all the myriads of activities that occupied his mind leading up to Pesach. And by the time a person manages to clear his mind and disentangle himself, the opportunity is gone. Says the Dubna Magid, that is the importance of hachana, of good preparation before an event, especially an event as important as the night of Seder. And how, I'd like to add on another piece here, how do we actually approach this preparation that we have for the Seder night? There is a posuk. I've got a photocopy. I'll manage. Thank you. Thanks very much. There is a posuk towards the beginning of this week's Haftarah, the second posuk of the Haftarah Parshas Vayikra, which is a posuk in Yeshaya, and Yeshaya is telling off Klal Yisrael, Perik Mem Gimel Posuk Chof Beis, and he's telling off Klal Yisrael. And he's saying to them, "V'lo oisi karasa Yaakov ki yogato bi Yisrael." V'lo oisi karasa Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "You aren't calling me. You don't have full yira shamayim in the way that you call me. How do I know that? Ki yogato bi Yisrael, because you're working so hard for me." Yeshaya Anovi is telling Klal Yisrael an important yesod. if something is extremely, extremely difficult, it shows that you don't really want to do it. If a person would really want to serve Hashem, if a person would really realize the benefits he has from being an Oved Hashem, he wouldn't find it difficult to do. And he says a moshel, the Dubna Magid again, says a moshel, that there was this person who went on a trip, a long trip by boat. He arrived back at the docks, and he arranged with one of the porters at the docks that the porter would bring his luggage round to his house. A short while later, there's a knock on the door, and the porter's there, "I've got your luggage at the gate." So the balabais, the passenger, says to the porter, "You haven't brought my luggage." So the porter says, "I've just schlepped it all the way from the docks." He says, no, it's not my luggage." "But how do you know it's not your luggage?" He says, "My luggage was light. I brought expensive things. I've got valuable things in my luggage, but they're light. I've got some jewels there. They're not heavy. You are sweating. You've been schlepping heavy cases. Obviously, you haven't brought my luggage along." The same says the Novi Yeshaya to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kindness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a complaint against Klal Yisrael. "V'lo oisi karasa Yaakov. You haven't called me. You haven't served me l'shem shamayim. How do I know that? Ki yogato bi Yisrael. Because you found it hard work. If you found it hard work, you found it a yegiah, you found it a big bother, that's a sign that you couldn't have been working l'shem shamayim, you couldn't have been working with all your enthusiasm, with all your eslahavas." And the Dubna Magid says a second moshe, which is brings out the same point. He says, imagine you have a servant, somebody who's working for the king, and the king asks him to schlep schoira from one place to another, and he's busy schlepping, thinking to himself, what a boring job, what a senseless job I'm doing. And suddenly the king says to him, "Do you know, everything that you schlep from there to there will be yours at the end of the day." His attitude changes. He's working for himself. He knows it's for himself. It's absolutely no bother at all. I think this pshat is the same, how we see sometimes in the middle of the summer, you see some Hasidic Yidden, Hasidic Rebbes in particular, walking with heavy clothes they're wearing and a big furry heavy shtreimel they're wearing. And I wondered to myself, how do they manage to do that? And lahavdil, you have a king. A king goes out in public, he's wearing a heavy crown studded with all sorts of jewels and diamonds. It's heavy, it's difficult. How does he manage? The answer is, it's so choviv on him to wear such a crown or to wear such begodim on Shabbos, or so choviv, so beloved to him, that it's no bother for him at all. If it's a bother, then it's a sign one isn't working l'shem shamayim, it's a sign one doesn't realize the importance of what one is doing. So I think we can say concerning the preparations for Pesach, if a person would realize how much one can achieve on the Leila Seder, on the night of Seder, and how beneficial it would be for him and for future generations, then it wouldn't be a bother to prepare it. But what exactly should a person be preparing? The Chinuch writes that the mitzvah of Vigato Levincha, that we have at the end of Parshas Bo, which is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is only on the night of Pesach, says the Chinuch, that the idea is to praise and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the nisim that he did to us in Mitzrayim. And even if there aren't other people there, he says, a person is obliged to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, because talking about it is Ma'ira himself. And he mentions in the same mitzvah, he mentions that you shouldn't wonder why it is that so often we mention Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Many mitzvahs that we talk about, including the Yom Tovim, we mention Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. And the Chinuch says that the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us at Yetzias Mitzrayim how he changed the teva, how the whole world was turned upside down, water went backwards, etc. Just so Klal Yisrael could leave Mitzrayim, that is the strongest form of emunah that we can have. The strongest way of promoting emunah is by being mitzapeh b'yetzias Mitzrayim, discussing the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that is what we're supposed to be discussing on that night. And I saw a very interesting chat that Rav Eliashiv Shlita said concerning the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say, Masa b'Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and actually it's the bit before that. in the Agoda we talk about Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kaven shivim shono, v'lei zachisi sheta Omar Yitzis Mitzrayim v'aleilois, ad shed Rosho ben Zayma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah discusses the machlokes, the Zayma and the Chachomim, about talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the kash is obvious. This mitzvah of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the mitzvah that we have on Leil Pesach, on Seder night. Seder night we have a special mitzvah, we're Matzu Morim Menochim Lefanecha, we have a mitzvah of Vigadta Levincha, passing on to your children, future generations, or even saying it yourself, the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim morning and evening is another mitzvah that we do every day, twice a day in Krishna. So this second mitzvah, to mention it twice a day in Krishna, is what Ben Zayim and the Chacham argue about. So why does it belong in the Haggadah on Leil Seder when we talk about the special mitzvah of Igalta Levincha? And Rav Yashar says as follows. There's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tesayin. The Gemara there is talking about the Inyan of Tzoras Habas. And the Gemara tells us that Rav Dosa ben Hyrcanus, who had an opinion on the Din of Tzoras Habas, was a Suma, he couldn't see Komo Einov Meirois, his eyes stopped seeing, and he was blind, and because of that he didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash. So the Chachomim went to visit him, went to visit Reb Doisa ben Horkinus. Who went? Reb Akiva, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and Reb Yeshua ben Chananya went. They went and they stood at the entrance to his house, and his maidservant told him, Rebbe, the Chachmi Yisrael have come to visit you. So he said, let them come in. So they came in, and Reb Doisa took Reb Yeshua and put him on a mitosh el zav, on a golden couch next to him. Said Reb Yeshua to Reb Doisa, Rebbe, the other Talmidim here, ask the other Talmidim to take a seat. So Reb Doisa asked, who else is here? Reb Elazar ben Azariah is here. So he took Reb Elazar ben Azariah and put him also on a second couch. Then Reb Yeshua carried on and said, Rebbe, there's another Talmud here who you should seat. Who's the other Talmud? The other Talmud is Reb Akiva. The Gemara calls him Akiva ben Yosef. So Reb Doisa said to him, Atu Akiva ben Yosef? You're the Reb Akiva, Sheshimcha Hoylech, Misoifa Oylem Asoifa. Your name is famous from one end of the world to the other. Shev b'ni Shev, take a seat. Kamayischa Yirdo b'Yisrael. There should be many like you in Klal Yisrael. That's the Gemara there. So the question is, why did Reb Akiva get this special treatment over and above Reb Elazar ben Azariah? Reb Elazar ben Azariah wasn't a special Tanna. We all know the famous Gemara in Brochus, Daf Ches, how he was appointed as Nossi instead of Reb Gamliel. He was only 18 years old. So why the great covered for Reb Akiva and not so much so for Reb Elazar ben Azariah? He says, the Meforshim say, I don't know what it is, but Rabbi Yasha repeated this, and he said that there was a difference as follows. Reb Elazar ben Azariah had Yichus. Reb Elazar ben Azariah was a 10th generation descendant from Ezra HaSofer. Since he had Yichus, if Reb Doisa would have said to him, there should be many in Klal Yisrael like you, what sort of bracha is that to the many people? The people will think to themselves, I can't be like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. He's got Yichus. He's 10 generations from Ezra HaSofer. But Reb Akiva ben Yosef, whose father was a Ger, and he didn't particularly have any Yichus at all, he was a self-made person, to say about him, K'mois Ka'yir will be Yisrael, that is a bracha. Because everybody can aspire to be like Reb Akiva, who was self-made, rather than Reb Elazar ben Azariah, who had the Yichus. So Rabbi Yasha went on to say, and that's why this piece is in the Agoda. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kaven Shivim Shana. What was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? Hare Ani, I am Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. First thing is, I've got the Yichus. I've got the Yichus, 10th generation from Ezra. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Chof Aleph that Rohu Hoya Ezra, Ezra Sefer was Roy, that the Torah should be given by him to Klal Yisrael, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu lived before him and did it before him. But Ezra HaSofer was on the Madrega that he could have given Torah to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had Yichus. There's another Gemara in Shabbos which says, Daf Nun Dalet, which says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was an Oisha Muflik. He was extremely rich. He gave Maisa, Behema, 12,000 animals a year. In other words, 120,000 animals were born to his flocks every year. And just by the way, he brings here, I saw this in our Agoda called the Mosik Ma'oyim from Rav Shlomo Levenstein. And he says, just by the way, talking about the Oisha, we say, Ezeo Oshir Hasameach Bechalke, the Mishnah says. Why doesn't the Mishnah say, Ezeo Oshir? Sheishlo $1 billion. Why did you say Eze Oshir Hasameach Bechalke? And he says, the Velt says as follows, that somebody who's rich suddenly becomes good in everything else. Suddenly becomes the type of person who you go to for advice. Suddenly he becomes the person who's the biggest Yirei Shamayim. Suddenly he becomes everything just because he's an Osher. The Mishnah asks, Ezer Osher, who is just an Osher? Just a plain, a regular man who happens to have a lot of money. Who is that? Ezer Osher HaSameach Bechalkei. Al Kaponim, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah had Yichus. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was a Osher. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, as we mentioned before, at 18 years old, he was the only one who could be Nosi Klal Yisrael when Rebbe Gamliel had to stand down. And not only that, Harayani Kevin Shimim Shona, the beard grew white, although I was only 18, I looked as if I was 70, I had the Hadras Ponim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kavi Yochel, masking that I should be the one who leads Klal Yisrael. And nevertheless, lo yizachisi shetama yitzias mitzrayim b'aleilos. I wasn't zeicher to understand from where we derive the fact that yitzias mitzrayim should be said at night. Ad shet rosha ben zaymah. Until ben zaymah came along, and he darshened it. And who was ben zaymah? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin tells us that ben zaymah, we don't identify him by his first name. Although his first name was Shimon ben zaymah, Shimon ben Azar, we don't identify him by his first name because he didn't have smicha, he wasn't zaycha to smicha. Therefore they called him ben zaymah, and they called him his father's name, not in his own name. So the great Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who had all the milas, all the advantages, all the protexia that one could have, nevertheless, he wasn't zeicher to understand it himself. He needed to come onto the so-called lowly Ben Zaymah to explain something to him. Said Rav Eliashiv, that teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs the world, and a person does not assume a great status because he has yichus, because he has richness, because he has other personal attributes. A person is zeichet to godless because he does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the world. That's what the Gemara tells us here. And that's what the Haggadah tells us here. And that's why it's included in the Haggadah. Because on this night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, what we have to tell our children is in Yonei Emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And therefore, we include Omer Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Hareani Kaven Shivim Shana. Although it's talking about a different point, it's talking about the daily sphere Zechiras Mitzrayim, rather than the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Leil Pesach. But the message that we get from there is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the world. And it's not personal attributes, not protexia, which gets a person further in life. And that is the message we should be telling our children. And just a personal gripe, if I may end with, I prepared an Agoda last year for my boys in school, and this year my daughter's teaching, and I showed her my Agoda that I prepared. I said, perhaps you'd like to teach it to your Talmides. So she took it to school, and her colleagues, around the same age as her, unmarried, came, said to her, nah, this isn't suitable. We've got another Agoda somewhere about Kotlet, Toirism. She came back and said, not suitable. It's too plain. It's too simple. So I said to her, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. It's all very nice to want to sell deep Torahs from the Han Kotler to your Talmidus, to your 12-year-old Talmidus. Wonderful. But I think, personally, it's much more important that they understand the basics of Emunah, the basics of what happened in Mitzrayim, what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the type of thing that they should be learning. Indeed, it's basics. There's a chiddush that one can talk about matzah morer as well, because in the same posuk it says v'shoshe matzah morer nochin lefonecha. So you can talk about ilchas matzah morer as well, pesah matzah morer. But the main thing is the emuna pshuta, talking about sipur yetzias mitzrayim. And one final fact: the mitzvah is v'gavta levincha. The mitzvah is on parents to pass it on to their children, to their grandchildren. in some situations we have, Baruch Hashem, several children or grandchildren who come along, and each one has their pekel, which they have from school, all the various Torahs, some have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, some don't have to, and everybody wants to say something. For example, I know Ramatzio Solomon Shlita didn't allow any child to say anything. He spent hours and hours talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He told it to his children. Obviously, it's not so straightforward, and we have to give the children the chance. But my father, Zichrei Lebracha, always told us we have a whole Yom Tov, Mirtz Hashem, all the Torahs he told us, Mirtz Hashem, over the meals in the duration of Yom Tov will cover all those Torahs. But the main thing is the Chiyuv, the father, on the night of Pesach, to be Mesapa Yetzias Mitzrayim, he should be Mesapa in Yon Emunah, in Yon Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zeicha. Neichem and Azochim and Absochim and Bias Mashiach Tzikeim and Bimbir Yameinu.
Does the Lord have a copy of this?